Our Bible study this evening, would you turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, I announced my title as the coming uprising in Israel. Now, this evening, my message is a prophetic type message. I hope you're not thinking pathetic, prophetic. And the word uprising is kind of maybe an attention getter. I'm not talking about an uprising as far as any kind of a expected riot or anything like that. I'm talking about, according to this passage of Scripture, Israel one day will rise up. Amen. And that's what I would like to convey tonight to you as far as our teaching. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. The skin covered above them, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God, or I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this reading of this great chapter. Open our understanding this evening. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give us understanding tonight of this great prophetic truth. And may the truth tonight be embedded in our hearts and minds and souls. And may we be stirred devotionally as we recognize the future that is planned for the nation Israel. Now, Lord, I pray your blessings as we spend this brief time of study together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I will begin this evening by just giving a few comments to you by way of an introduction, but you've probably already noticed as I started reading this passage of Scripture this evening, you've probably already noticed that we're dealing with a prophetic portion of Scripture that has to do with something that is destined to come to pass in on God's prophetic calendar. We also notice that this passage of Scripture pertains specifically to Israel. It's talking about the future of Israel and what will take place concerning the nation Israel. I would begin tonight by saying just a few things about the speaker, who happens to be the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest. He was from the family of Zadok. When he, and along with the king of Israel and 10,000 Jews, were taken to Babylon in 598 B.C. The name Ezekiel is an interesting name. The name means this. It means strengthened by God. Strengthened by God. Now, he would fulfill his name as he would challenge and strengthen his fellow exiles in captivity. So the name was not wasted. His ministry would involve strengthening Israel, strengthening his fellow comrades in captivity. Tonight, when I use the term or the title, uprising, I'm not talking about an uprising that's destined to take place pertaining to Israel. I'm talking about something far more important or far more significant than that. It's not about rebellion. This is not talking, and I'll just kind of clear the air a little bit as far as letting us all know tonight what this is not. This is not talking, this is talking about a future resurrection of Israel. It is. But it's not talking about a general resurrection of the dead. It's not at all referring to that. This passage of Scripture is not referring to a general resurrection of all the dead. So we can rule that one out. You will notice here in the reading it talks about breath being given. Breath, and I'm paraphrasing it now, breath coming upon Israel, breath being given. So breath is infused into dry bones. You know how it reads, dry bones. Breath was infused, and the bones came to life. Flesh began to form on the bones. The bones were made alive. They stood. And that's talking about the future resurrection, restoration of Israel itself. Now, interestingly enough, when it talks about breath, and I just read that. I'm not going to go back in and reread that, where it talks about the breath was upon them. Now, you remember this. When God created Adam and Eve, God breathed in man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you can tie the idea of breath into life, the breath of life. Israel is destined to receive the breath of life. It will be alive. Now, I feel it's necessary tonight to remind us all of some parallel passages of Scripture which will tie in with this Ezekiel chapter 37 passage. Understand now, this is talking about prophecy relative to the nation Israel. Now, I don't think it's necessary tonight to give a panoramic view of prophecy because I've taught it tons of times and everyone's aware of the fact. You have the rapture, the next event, the taking up of the church, followed by the 7-year tribulation period. Then at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, Christ returns in glory. He comes secretly for the church. He returns 7 years in glory openly. And at that point of time, I believe that's when Israel will be resurrected. There will be the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. I believe at that time, and we're going to notice that. But I would refer you to Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel 12, and I'll go ahead and read it this evening. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people," talking about Israel. "There shall be a time of trouble." Now when you see the word trouble, be reminded of the tribulation period, a time of trouble. The 7-year tribulation period is a time of trouble, trying the people of the earth, trying Israel. It says, "Such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time and at that time, thy people," notice that, thy people, that's Daniel's people, that's the Jew, "thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now here's resurrection talk in Daniel 12:2. "And many of them that sleep and the dust of the earth shall awake. Shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12, 1 and 2. Could I point out tonight that Daniel 12, 2 is referencing the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. They shall come to life. Now, I would have you to understand where it says some to shame and everlasting contempt. I believe this. I believe that when it comes to resurrections, there will be the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. There will be the resurrection involving the glorification of the body, and there will be the resurrection of damnation. You remember this teaching? You remember that I've taught before? At the end of the millennium, there will be the great white throne judgment. You remember that teaching? At the great white throne judgment, there will be the resurrection of the ungodly, unsaved. Hell will empty up the dead and so forth. And the lost people will stand before the great white throne judgment. That's still going to be a resurrection of damnation. So that for eternity, the lost will be cast into the lake of fire bodily. That's still a resurrection. It's the resurrection of shame and everlasting contempt. The awakening to shame, everlasting contempt. I've read that, Daniel 12, 2. So what I think the prophet is doing here, he is referencing the phase of the resurrection which pertains to the resurrection of the just. By the way, when the rapture takes place, that's going to be the resurrection of the saints, right? Then when the Old Testament saints are resurrected at the end of the tribulation period, that's still basically a part of that same resurrection of the just. Divided, of course, by 7 years. But it's still resurrection of the just, but then there will be shame and everlasting. Now, what am I trying to tell you? Here's what it is. I want you to know this. When Ezekiel saw the bones coming to life, that pertains to the restoration, the resurrection of Israel that will occur when Christ returns in glory. You wonder tonight, well, what about Abraham and what about Isaac and what about Jacob? What about all those Old Testament saints? Well, they're not resurrected yet. But they've got to be resurrected sometime, and Israel and the church are not one and the same. When the rapture takes place, that pertains to the bride of Christ, the church. Israel is not the same as the church, but it has to be. The saints in the Old Testament have to be resurrected sometime. Most reputable Bible students believe that that will take place in conjunction with what Daniel's saying when Christ returns in glory. But let me keep going here. I don't want to muddy the water at all. I think prophecy is a wonderful thing. I think it's exciting. I think it's good to know it because it lets us know that God has great plans for this earth, for Israel and the church. And so I always try to present it not in a boring way at all because this thrills me. I'm glad that God has great plans in store for this earth. So here's what I'm saying tonight. I believe that the Old Testament saints will be resurrected at the time of the second coming of Christ in glory at the end of the 7 years and will join hands with. Now let me point something else out to you here. And I make no apology for Bible study on Wednesday night as we've already discussed. This is the Bible study anyway. I believe that the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, they will join hands as it were with the living Jews who at the end of the tribulation period have been redeemed. You know, there will be 144,000 Jews that'll preach the gospel during the tribulation period. They're Jews. So what's going to happen to them? Well, there will be many that will go into the millennium in their natural bodies. So I think the Old Testament saints that will be resurrected will join hands, as it were, with those that are living when Christ comes back, and then they will go into the trib together and so forth. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many is already confused, because I'm scared somehow I'll raise their hand, but I hope you're not confused. But here's what I'm saying. Israel right now is coming back into the land, but in borrowing from this text here, it's out of breath at this point. It has not had the breath of God breathe into it yet. It's out of breath. Now, I'm going to lay another good verse on to you. Zechariah 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Israel will say, the Lord is my God. The nation Israel will, in the end, look upon him whom they have pierced. And there will be an awakening, and life will come in those bones. And they'll get up and walk, as it were. Now, what did the prophet see here, chapter 37? Ezekiel saw nothing but a valley full of bones of the dead. What do you think we see when we look around this world today? We see a similar sight, don't we? We see dead bones too, don't we? Now, I'm not talking literal, you know what I'm saying. Do you realize that unsaved people are a bunch of dead bones too, when you stop and think about it? So now, Ezekiel was commanded to preach to a valley filled with skeletons. Nothing could be more foolish or ridiculous than to preach to a bunch of bones. Doesn't make sense, does it? You got to understand, this comes to us in the form of a vision which he had, which is conveying a great prophetic truth. This passage is not about the rapture of the church. It's not a general teaching of the resurrection of all the dead people. The bones are identified. Verse 11, please. Go back and look at verse number 11, chapter 37. Look what it says. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So there we have it. The bones are identified, they're Israel. The bones have no life, but are infused with life. Again, prophetic. It will happen. God's not through with Israel. There is a future for the nation of Israel. And I'll say more about that in just a few moments. But Ezekiel, he's speaking of a physical regathering to the land. And he's also speaking about a spiritual regathering to God. You got to have a physical regathering into the land before there will be a spiritual regathering in the land. And so that's going to take place. Now, where are we today in the world? What is world news about today? What is the main focus today of world news? You know what it is, don't you? It's about Israel is dominating the newspapers today. The war in the Middle East. The war is raging. Now let me say a few things about that. And let me try to bring it into perspective what's going on. So maybe we can appreciate a little bit more the news pertaining to Israel's war with Hamas. Now, unfortunately, there is an effort on the part of the UN and even the U.S. for Israel to scale back in its efforts to defeat Hamas. We've got an administration that literally would like for Israel to scale back in that war. If anybody had any sense, they would understand that there is a significant reason for that war, and they need to really understand that God has his hand upon Israel, and they really, really need to understand that God's not through with Israel. They'd be better off to leave Israel alone, let Israel fight its own war. It knows what it's doing. Amen. Anti-Israel forces around this world, here's what they need to understand. And this is just a little old simpleton West Virginia preacher that's saying this tonight with a handful here hearing me, maybe a handful out there. I wish the world could hear it, but it won't. But I do take satisfaction in the fact I can tell a few people. Anti-Israel forces around this world need to realize they cannot win. They cannot win because Israel is destined to rise. What it says. They're destined to rise. Now, if you will look at verses 10 and 11 again, it says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Now, I think Israel during the tribulation period will be refined like they're in a refiner's fire. There'll be terrible persecution. And I believe the nation Israel will reach a point of time they'll be exhausted and weary. And this is going to be somewhat of the logic of the nation. Our hope is lost. We're cut off. I don't have the time to get into it, but there will be the campaign of Armageddon. There will be bloodshed. Israel will be attacked by the Antichrist, by the armies of this earth, and Israel will be saying, we're drowned, our hope is lost. But God is going to assure his people they are not lost. One thing for sure, that 144,000, they'll come through. Not a one of them will be scathed anyway. But I think they represent a nucleus out of others that will be saved. They stand up. Ezekiel 37, those bones stand up. They arose. At the Lord's second coming, this will happen. Here's a good verse. Romans 11:26. Listen to me tonight, Russia. I'm speaking sarcastically. Listen to me tonight, China. Listen to me tonight, Hamas. Listen to me tonight, Iran. Listen to me tonight, every Arab nation who's bloodthirsty for Israel. Listen to me. Here's what Paul says. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I wish every enemy of Israel would hear that verse and would believe it. But they won't. What could we say about Israel tonight? Let me give you a little history on Israel. Help you maybe understand a few things. Israel, as we all know, is a small country in the Middle East. That it is. Small country in the Middle East. About the size of New Jersey. Israel's located on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea, bordered by Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. The contention today concerning Israel, concerning the peoples that want to possess that land, the contention for the land in Israel pertains to what is called the Gaza Strip, which is a piece of land located between Egypt and modern-day Israel, the Golan Heights, which is a rocky plateau between Syria and modern-day Israel, and the West Bank, which is a territory that divides part of modern-day Israel and Jordan. That's what the Arab peoples, are contending for. Genesis chapter 12, you may even want to turn there. Do y'all mind just really? I'm talking about seriously doing some Bible study. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let me show you something tonight. Have you ever heard of the Abrahamic covenant? Sure you have. The Abrahamic covenant God made with Abraham. Do you know that the Abrahamic covenant is not conditional? It is unconditional. It means that it will be fulfilled with no strings attached. It's an unconditional covenant. It is a covenant that promises Israel land. I want to show it to you. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Do you know there are seven parts of that Abrahamic covenant which are significant. Look at it with me. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I see seven things in connection to this covenant that God made. I will make of thee a great nation. That's one. A great nation. You can't deny Israel as a nation. Oh, they went into captivity. But God said, I'll make of you a great nation. Number two, I'll bless thee. I'll bless thee. And oh, how God blessed Abraham and the nation. Number three, and make thy name great. The name Abraham is a name that's known by all the major world religions. That's number three. And thou shalt be a blessing. Number four, he's a blessing, all right. Abraham's a blessing. By the way, we're blessed through Abraham. We're blessed. And we keep reading, we're going to find out a little bit the reason for that. And I'll bless them that bless thee. That's number five. That's part of the Abrahamic. I'll bless them that bless thee. Follow the history of mankind. God has blessed people that bless Israel. It's a Bible point. Historical point. And curse him that curseth thee. Peoples and nations will ultimately lose when they curse Israel. That's the sixth thing. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know why? The seed of Abraham. Jesus Christ. Through his seed, we're all blessed. Now, I've read that this evening because it will help us to understand tonight just why Israel has security for the future. Genesis 15:18. Here's another good verse. I know I'm piling a whole lot on you tonight, but I'm going to end on a good note that you may want to save up a little bit of a shout. Think about it maybe. Maybe an amen at the end of this. But in Genesis 15:18, it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Euphrates. That's the Nile River. God said, I've given you this land from the Nile River unto the great river, the river Euphrates. God said, that land between the Nile River and the Euphrates River belongs to Israel. John Phillips, the Bible scholar, put it like this. He said, from the Nile to the Euphrates in the broad sweep would take in some 300,000 square miles of territory, embracing much of the land that is now claimed by the Arabs. It's what John Phillips said. You can hurry up and believe me tonight. One of these days, Israel is going to have far more land than it has now. You know, the Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. Sure, Israel is in darkness. Sure, Israel today is in a state of spiritual darkness. That's true. That's right. They are in a state of spiritual darkness. But now God made a covenant through Abraham, and it's unconditional. It has to be fulfilled because God is a covenant-keeping God. He'll do what he says. So we can count on that. You hear that theory called the replacement theory? Any of y'all know anything about the replacement theory? You know, there are so-called theologians that believe this. They contend that because Israel sinned and got messed up, that the church replaces Israel. That's what the replacement theory, that's the tenets of the replacement theory, that the church replaces Israel. In other words, God's had it with Israel. God's done with Israel. They're out of here. That's replacement theory. No, no. God can't be through with Israel because Abraham made that covenant. And it'll be fulfilled. Here's what we know. Israel as a nation will be converted. It will be forgiven, and it will be restored. Here's another good passage to chew on. Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12:10. What you might want to do, just kind of jot these down, read them on your own time. It says, "And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication." Here's what I mentioned to you earlier. "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." That's Israel. It says, "And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn." Zechariah 12:10. It's a done deal prophetically. Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will recognize him fully as their Messiah. Now, Jerusalem, interestingly enough, has been the home of Jews for 3,000 years. And to deny it as Israel's capital is fake history. Somebody said this. They said, "Fake news is a problem, but fake history is worse." Fake history has a lot to do with the troubles in the Middle East and the controversy surrounding Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Just a few more things and I'll be done. In verse number 8 or 7, we've looked at it. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone upon bone." May I tell you today that I believe there is a shaking going on in Israel. I believe the shaking has started. And I'll give you what I think is some evidence for that. 1948, Israel became a nation. 1948. Since then, Israel has grown and grown and grown. It has developed. It is a fertile land. It has one of the best militaries in the world. Under Donald J. Trump, the embassy was officially moved to Jerusalem. And now the embassy is in Jerusalem. It's all coming together. I believe the bones are shaking. And I will say this tonight, President Trump was on the right side of history in moving the embassy to Jerusalem. By recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, President Trump affirmed the Jewish people's history. And he also corrected a long-standing historical problem and a grievous injustice. But here's what I'm saying in closing, and I'm done. I believe there's some shaking right now of the bones. The land is organized, it's a country, it's growing, it's productive, it's a major ally, it has its embassy there, it has a strong military, and people are flowing back to Israel by the thousands. They're coming out of America, they're coming out of Europe, they're coming out of the various countries, they're coming home. My friend, I believe the bones are shaking, and what Ezekiel said there is going to take place, because at any moment the trumpet could sound, the church could go out of here, the 7-year tribulation will kick in, God will seal 144,000 Jews, he'll purge this earth, and many things will happen. But when the end of the tribulation arrives, Christ the Son of God is coming back with his armies from heaven. In conjunction with that, his people, the Jewish people, will turn and look upon him. And they'll say he is indeed the Messiah. And Israel will be saved. Those bones will start walking. And the nation will come together. Then it will be the millennial reign of Christ. And then at the end of the millennial reign, the great white throne judgment. And then after that, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then it's going to be glory forever. Everything will be in the past. My friend, Israel has a future. That's what I'm saying. Those bones will come back to life. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to do a little bit of a Bible study. And Lord, to be confident this evening that because this is your word, it will come to pass. I pray tonight for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for the safety of your covenant people. I pray that they will prevail in battle against Hamas. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give your people might and strength. And Lord, you will teach your people's hands to war, like the psalmist even said. And God, I pray for Israel. You will protect them from the onslaughts of the peoples of the earth that hate them, of communism and socialism and the Marxist forces that are trying to destroy them. And then, Lord, the Muslims who hate them are talking about attempting or wanting to wipe them off the face of this earth. Dear Lord, I'm confident tonight that I know that will never happen, and none of us in this church believe it will happen, because we read Ezekiel 37. Because them bones are going to come to life again. So we know that nations will not destroy your people. They're given that land through covenant with Abraham, and it's an unconditional covenant, and it will come to pass. So Father, thank you tonight that this world's in good hands, and we've got a good future this evening in spite of the mess we're in right now. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jesus.